Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at our motto and how it points us to Christ, we pray, Lord, that as we engage with your word, that our hearts and minds will be open, to be encouraged, to be challenged, and hopefully, Lord, equipped to continue to know Christ and to live for him and to share him. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Could you name someone who has made an impact on your life? Someone who has made you possibly the person you are today. Many of us could talk about family, parents, special uncle, special friend. I want to talk about a particular person that I met at high school. And he made one of the greatest impacts on my life. When I first met him, I thought of him as being arrogant and obnoxious. Didn't like him at all. He was a person who was always arguing with everybody else. He was a person who always thought that he was right. He argued with his fellow students. He argued with his teachers. And he even argued with me because I wanted to argue with him. So to argue better, because what he was arguing about was about Jesus. He was challenging people about their understanding of Jesus. So I decided to read the New Testament because I wanted to argue even better than he could. I wanted to beat him. So to my surprise, as I read the New Testament, I came to see my sin and my sinfulness and my need for Christ in a way that I'd never known before. So I started following him and started listening to him arguing with others and started to agree with what he was saying. We became good friends. And he encouraged me in my Christian life. So this person did make a big impact on my life that is still being lived out today. So people that we know can make an impact on our life. But events can also have a great impact and influence on our life. Here are five events that some people say have big influence on people's lives. Turning a certain age. Like 60, which is getting closer for some people. If your parents suddenly having your children leave home and becoming empty nesters can have a great impact on your life. Change of work due to restructure or redundancy can have another huge impact. Can challenge your own self-esteem. Relationships, big impact, especially if they end. Even if they end well, they can still leave hurt and pain. And of course, if a spouse or family member becomes ill or disabled or dies, that has huge repercussions in a person's life. All these things can shape us as we go through them and even continue to shape us in the future. So over the next three Sundays, we're looking at our motto. And the issue with the motto is that Christ is the one that shapes us. Because we have know Christ, live Christ, and share Christ. This motto says a lot about our church and those who are committed to it. It says that Christ is the person who has made and is making the greatest impact on my life. And that becoming a Christian was the most important event in my life. Yes, there have been and will be many people who will influence you, but our motto is saying that no one comes close to having made the same sort of impact that Jesus Christ has had in your life. Yes, there have been and will be many events in your life that will influence you, but the motto is saying, if it's yours, that becoming a Christian has had such a profound influence on your life, and it continues to influence and shape your life. So this morning we're going to begin with what it means to know Christ. And we all know what the word know means. How to say that, don't we? Because we use the word know every day. Someone says, do you know John Nisi? And you'll say yes. Or you say no, don't know him at all. I could ask you, do you know John Depp? Or Johnny Depp. That's it, can't even say his name right. Johnny Depp, that's right. You know all the facts about his life, when he was born, where he went to school, his favourite hair gel and so on. That's when he had hair. You see all his movies, you rank 21 Jump Street as the greatest TV show ever. You name your firstborn Sparrow. You might even know everything about him, but could you say you know him? Does anybody know him? Good. It would have been a surprise if someone he knew him. You know a lot about him, but you don't know him personally. I know Malcolm Turnbull is the Prime Minister of Australia. But I know Martin far more than I know Malcolm Turnbull. And I know Anna on a whole different level than I know Martin. So does know Christ mean to you knowing stuff about him? You know, he was born of a virgin, he's a God-man, he was crucified, he rose from the dead. Is that it? You know Christ means you just know stuff about him? If that's where you end, about knowing stuff about Jesus, then you're sadly mistaken in your understanding of the motto. If it means to you that you've come to know Jesus Christ in a personal and life-changing way, then you begin to understand where the motto is coming from. Our motto, Know Christ, is about a relationship that is meaningful and satisfying on a personal and emotional level. And I want to explore this motto in three parts, three aspects. Firstly, know Christ means that you want others to know Christ. Secondly, know Christ means that you know him personally. And thirdly, know Christ means you are committed to knowing him more and more in your life. So the first aspect of our motto is actually evangelistic. We want other people to know Christ because he's made such a huge difference in our life. He has given me meaning and purpose. This part of the motto challenges us personally. Do we know Christ in such a way that we want to introduce him to others? But to want to introduce him to others means that we are actually convinced that he's worth knowing. The Pharisee Saul hated Jesus and everything that Jesus stood for. But when he met him, he became absolutely convinced that Jesus was worth knowing. And it became his life goal to introduce others to Jesus. So is Jesus worthy of being introduced to your family and friends? Do you want to introduce Jesus to others, or are you afraid of possibly losing their friendship, their respect, if you do? There's an episode that's recorded in the Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, that I love. Jesus calls Matthew to follow him. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. He was hated, not because he was a tax collector. We love people that work at the ATO. But the problem was that with Matthew, he was actually the tax collector for the occupying forces, the Romans, and he was taking money from his own countrymen to give to the Romans. But after Jesus calls Matthew, who's also known as Levi, we are told this: Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. You see, Levi cared so much about his friends and thought so much about Jesus that he introduced them. Look at this guy I've just met. He's just transformed my life. So he invited all the friends that he had. They were the friends that no one else wanted. He introduced Jesus because of the impact that Jesus had made on his own life, and he cared for his friends. A Levi party is a great way of introducing people to Jesus. People share what they love, don't they? They love talking about what they love. It may be model planes. It may be roasting coffee. It may be cycling. It may be four-wheel driving. But people love, when you see someone share their passion, you see it, don't they? And they want to include you in it, because they're just so excited about it. So are we convinced that Jesus is worth knowing? If you are convinced, if you want to introduce Jesus to other people, then this part of our motto is yours. Now, the second aspect of our motto is that it's personal. It says that I know Christ, and that he's actually brought meaning and purpose and satisfaction to my life. And if you know Christ, then you won't be chasing after things that don't last or seeking meaning in things that are empty. We all have relationships. We have families. We can't escape many of those relationships. We go to work, school, uni. We have more relationships, teachers, students, colleagues on a different level. We play sport or belong to a club. more relationships. We know people on different levels, depending on what level we know them, they may affect us or not. There are some people in my life, if they say certain things to me, will affect me deeply. And there's other people in my life, you can say whatever you like, and I don't really care what you think. Different levels, different impacts. When we say we know Christ, we are saying that he is the most important, meaningful relationship that we have, and that that relationship shapes all our other relationships. And that's a challenge, isn't it? To say that I know Christ, and in knowing Christ, that shapes all my other relationships and how I relate to them. Now, to come to this realization, to come to know Christ, we need to start with knowing ourselves. When Peter had a hard day's work fishing, Jesus turned up and said, look, just put the net on the other side. Go out and just put it out. Peter was reluctant, but he did it. And he caught the biggest catch he ever caught. And we're told that when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. To know in your heart that you are a sinful person, that you have sinned against a holy, righteous and loving God in word, thought and deed is the beginning of knowing Christ. But because of the cross and the resurrection, we're not sort of so overawed with Jesus' holiness that we say to Jesus, go away. No, we've come to the realization that he's the only one that can actually deal with our issues of sin and guilt and shame. And once we've realized that he's the answer, again, that is moving in the right direction in knowing Christ. To know that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness means you are a person who knows that there is grace and mercy to be found in Jesus. And if you've found grace and mercy in Jesus, then you're going to introduce him to others. The Apostle Paul says this, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Jesus himself said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. If you think you are good enough, then you don't need Jesus. Because only sinners need Jesus. Only they who know their own shame and guilt need Jesus. If you think you're a winner, good on you. But only losers need Jesus. If you think you've got it all together, good on you. You keep up that facade as much as you can. Because only the broken, only those who know that they are broken and wounded and hurt will come to know Jesus. To say I know Jesus means I know myself. I know who I am in light of who Jesus is and know what he can do for me. To know Christ means coming to know yourself and your greatest need, and that is to be reconciled to God. We are only convinced that Jesus is worth knowing by others if we have come to know his worth and his value in our own life. If Jesus is not that important to you or to me, then there's no way that I'm going to introduce him to other people. They're not going to see the passion, the commitment that I have for four-wheel driving or for whatever, movies. They may see that passion, but they may not see the passion that I should have for Jesus. So if this part of the motto challenges you, reminds you that to say know Christ means that I have come to personally know him, then this part of the motto is yours. So if it challenges you and reminds you and calls you to introduce other people to Jesus, it's your motto. If it reminds you this is about a personal relationship, it's your motto. And the third aspect of our motto is that to know Christ means that you are committed to knowing him more and more in your life. Any relationship that we value and consider worthwhile is one that we are committed to in time and effort so that it will grow. And as it grows, it changes. It grows in such a way that it becomes more meaningful, more intimate. Some people might sum you up in a few words because they think they know you. Maybe they've seen you behave in a certain way. They might be right about certain things, but they can't sum you up. You are an amazing person. People are far more complex and layered and multidimensional than we could ever know on a first meeting or over a few years, unless, of course, they keep revealing themselves more to you. I remember when I was going through some training with Mission Australia, I was being trained to be on their helpline. And there was about 10 people in the training course. And one part of the course was that we had to share with the group who I am. Now, amazingly, this bunch of strangers, maybe because of the type of people, you know, volunteers, maybe because they're just more open, opened up their lives. And I sat there and I heard about broken lives. I heard about pain and abuse, suffering and illness. The people I was training with were far more complex than I had ever realized on my first impression. You know, they always say first impressions, you know, are very important. That's true, but first impressions do not give you the depths of who you're dealing with. Don't write someone off with your first impression. We are far more complex than we think. Last year, I had the privilege of going to the ladies' Bible study. It's always a privilege to hang out with the ladies. And they were going through a session of sharing their testimonies. And so I had the privilege of sitting there and listening to these ladies share their testimonies. And it was amazing, it was encouraging, and it was inspiring. I learned so much more about many of the women in this congregation that would blow your mind. So how well do we know each other? We can always say we know. It takes time and effort to know someone deeply, but most of us, for one reason or another, may only know each other superficially. And that's not a condemnation. It's a challenge, is it not? I think it reflects the busyness of our lives and the demands that are placed upon us. But someone just recently invited a couple to their place for lunch and said, "How long have you been coming to church?" 9 years. No, I mean, it's not because it's not a condemnation, it's just reality, isn't it? We sort of think we know each other, you know? We're not even that big. I mean, we're not 1,000, are we? But we still, you know? And someone else was invited to someone else's place and said, "This is the first time I've ever walked into your home." Really? There is challenges. How many marriages end because couples who no longer know each other gave up trying to know each other years ago? Any relationship worth something is worth the time, the pain, and the effort. And if we know Christ, and if he's worth knowing, we want to keep knowing him even more so. We will put in the time, we will put in the effort, and we will put in the pain. Because above all other people, he is worth it. He gave his time in becoming a human being for us. He suffered for us. And he never gave up on us, nor does he give up on us. Many people who claim to be Christians drift away because they no longer think that knowing Christ is worth their time or effort. Others become convinced that there's something better than Christ. Know Christ says there is nothing or no one better. If this part of the motto means anything, it means that knowing Christ is worth keeping the relationship going, no matter what the cost. Paul compares knowing Christ with what he had before. He says, "For whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may know Christ." Knowing Christ surpasses everything that people consider valuable. Knowing Christ means it's worth giving up everything in comparison to knowing Christ. So no, Christ is a challenge. It's a huge challenge. One commentator, William Herrickson, said about this passage that Paul was talking about, saying, "Knowing Christ means that Jesus now outshone outshines everything in beauty and desirability. Yeah, that's interesting. Is Jesus beautiful to you? Is he attractive? Is he desirable? No, Christ challenges us in that. Paul echoes the desire for Christ that the psalmist has. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Whom have I in heaven but you, and on earth nothing I desire besides you. That's a challenge. Know Christ means wanting to know him deeper. It means never being satisfied with, I know him well enough. You know, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I know everything already. You know, I know Jesus. That's fine. Well, that's a lie. Knowing Jesus means there's really no limit. Do you consider Jesus worth knowing? If he is worth knowing, then it's a relationship that you are committed to and that you want it to grow. Knowing Christ delivers you from being consumed by things around you that you think will give you meaning and purpose. In The Lord of the Rings, Gollum is consumed by that one ring of power. It's become his precious. It's the thing that gives him meaning, purpose. It also brings him pleasure. Without it, he is nothing because he thinks he owns it or possesses it, but it actually possesses him. And it is his master. In the end, he dies in Mount Doom. The thing that he desired the most destroys him. Knowing Christ, desiring Christ, means life and not death. It means pleasure and joy that won't consume or destroy you, but is given to you by God. Knowing Christ never reaches an end, because with every step of the journey, you come to know him more and see in him things that bring you pleasure and joy that you did not see before. Knowing Christ is not just a decision that you made in the past, the date of your conversion, or it's not coming just to, you know, I've come to realize who Jesus is. But knowing Christ is a choice that you make every day because you value that relationship. You want to grow in that relationship. You want to find out more about Jesus because he's more multidimensional than you and I are and more satisfying. No, Christ points us to the truth that this is a growing relationship that gets deeper if we commit the time, the effort into it. So to know Christ means that we want others to know him because of what he's done and he's doing in our life. To know Christ means that we have come to know him personally. He's changed us and he's changing us. We've come to see his worth, his value. Can I say we've come to see his beauty? And we are convinced that others should know him too because he is beautiful. Know Christ means that this is a never-ending relationship, the depths of which bring joy and satisfaction every day that we are committed to it. But out of all that also, to know Christ is also the fulfillment of God's words with the prophet Jeremiah. When he said, no longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. And it's through Christ that we know God. It's through Christ that we experience forgiveness. Because Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Many people have impacted on your life. Maybe other, and there'll be more people impacting on your life. Many events have shaped your life, and there'll be future events that'll shape your life. But our motto that says, know Christ, if we understand it deep in our heart, means that Jesus has surpassed them all. And that Jesus continues to surpass them all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at those words, know Christ, we pray that we may first be challenged about our own relationship to Christ, that we may be encouraged that we are convinced of other people knowing him, that it's worth knowing him. We pray, Lord, that as your people, we will live out what it means to know Christ. In our families, in our workplace, in this church. We pray, Lord, that when we've failed to commit to this relationship, when we've decided that it's an oh harm, we know him, Lord, challenge us to repent of that. Lord, fill us with your spirit that we will be determined, that we will be committed, that we will love this relationship and want to see it continue to grow and mature so that we may be blessed, but that we can also be a blessing to others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.